Today, on Real Ghost Stories Online, nothing in the apartment was burning. There was never a fire, yet the smell of smoke kept waking her from a dead sleep. What if it wasn't coming from her apartment? What if it was from the property's past?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And it is, and 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. If you want to share your real ghost stories with us, we'd love to hear them. And be sure to press subscribe wherever you're listening right now so you don't miss any of the episodes. On YouTube, we are there. Go be sure to check that out. And you can watch us do the program as for your viewing pleasure, now available in CBS Surround Stereo. How's everyone doing today?
Well, I'm doing quite well in CBS Surround Stereo.
Remember that little thing that would fly up at the bottom of the screen? You know, it's like, ooh.
Oh, this is
good. If only we had
good
surround and it wasn't just this little speaker on this box, you know?
I remember when that was the big thing. And I digress into my own memory, but I was watching David Letterman back then when stereo became a thing. And they did this huge thing about how the music was going to be in stereo now on the show. The whole show was a setup to somebody literally pushing a big button on a desk and the show going into stereo. Well, they did it. The stereo didn't work. And it went from color to black and white. Something was mixed up in the transmission. So they literally, like, the whole thing was just a freaking nightmare.
It was a legitimate, like...
Fuck up. Yes.
Fuck up.
Wasn't just Letterman being stupid, but, like, he and Paul are talking about how Paul's like, I don't think we're set up to be in stereo musically. And he goes, well, the engineers are saying this. And they didn't realize that, like, the color had gone away until they came back from the commercial break. And the
Really?
Is
that, like,
funny
on YouTube anywhere?
I'm sure you can find it someplace.
Yeah. I've never seen that.
There's also one out there where the network did timing incorrect when it played back the episode as it was recorded. So there was, like, I want to say 60 seconds, but at least 30 seconds of the warm up before the show with nothing on screen airing.
Really?
It was late night TV.
Was that episode, like, Possessed or something?
Well, it was a different episode, but that was late night TV back then when, like, you know, they weren't spending a lot of money on this stuff, right? So, yeah, it was just, I remember
it's
that
human
specifically.
Error. I mean,
it is. Yeah. It is. I wonder if somebody lost their job over that. Kind of like mistiming Casey Kasem. So just so you know, Tony, like some of the mistakes you made, even in the big leagues at NBC, mistakes were made.
Yes, yes, yes. When you mistake a 13-minute Casey Kasem episode for 3 hours and 31 minutes or 31 minutes, and then it's just dead air. There was a lot of racing my bike into town on that stuff too. Like
before
Sunday
Todd
afternoon.
Found out, and
your mom didn't even give you a ride.
Hell no.
No, I would be right.
I don't have time to wait for mom.
Get in there. And then I think it was F4. I think F4 was.
Yeah, F5 was played.
F5. I'm looking at it. Yep. F5. Yep. Gosh, it's funny. I remember that. You hit play. Nobody caught it.
And then you'd ride your back.
I would.
Bike right back.
And then sometimes I'd be like, is there any severe weather coming? And I don't even think we had radar yet. I mean, you would look at the wire and, like, wait and see. And, God. Yeah, there was a time we didn't have the radar yet because we the internet. I remember when we got the internet there.
Yeah.
And that was a big deal on that it was on the slow, your little computer. I can picture the old desk, the old Sunny logo, on it as the desktop.
Jeez.
Yep. And the funny part is the weather radar from NOAA is exactly the same as it was in 1996.
They haven't progressed that at all.
They haven't.
No, it's exactly the same one.
Thank God we've cut spending for severe weather coverage in America. You know,
because that's not important. Who needs to?
Not at all.
Who needs that? That's insane. But no, the radar image is still the exact same fucking one from ever. Anyway, 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. If you want to share your real ghost stories with us, let's go to a phone call and hear a ghost story.
Hi guys. I'm Claire. I don't live there now, but I'm from Alabama. And the story I'm about to share, takes place in the suburb. So I was, living in an apartment complex in Mountain Brook, Alabama, right near English Village, if anybody's familiar with the area. And as soon as I moved into this apartment, like, first of all, they're old buildings, big brick buildings, radiator heat, AC units in the windows, hardwood floors, just gorgeous buildings. I loved those apartments. I lived there for 2 years. In two different apartments. And the one I lived in by myself, I think this is an interesting story because I didn't see anything. It was nothing I saw with my eyes. It was only smell. It was a purely olfactory possible ghost story. I don't know. As soon as I moved in there, I started waking up in the middle of the night smelling smoke. The smell of smoke would wake me up. And I would think that something was on fire in my apartment or in one next to me. And it was so strong, and it lasted after I woke up. I would sit up in bed, sniff the air, smell the smoke, walk through my apartment trying to figure out what was burning. I'd even go out into the hall, sniff the stairwell, you know, look around, like sniff the doors of the other apartments. Could never find anything burning. Never heard of any fires. And this would happen frequently, not necessarily every night, but at least 3 times a week, I'd be woken up by the smell of smoke. And eventually it got to the point, this kept happening, and I was thinking, do I have a brain tumor? This is weird. And, you know, that question was never answered for me. Also, these apartments, there were no fireplaces or anything. You know, I'm sure some people burn candles, but this was just such a strong smell of smoke. And the only thing I can think of to explain it, maybe, is that these apartments were built on the grounds of a tuberculosis sanatorium that I believe was erected in 1910. I think that it was the first TB sanatorium in Alabama. There was a historical marker out on the road out front, which is why I know this. And I've tried to look into it since then and find things out about it. But it turns out the consensus is very little is known about this makeshift TB sanatorium. And so I know a lot of people died there. I don't know what they did with the bodies. Maybe they burned them. At least the ones that weren't claimed. I don't know. It could be also previous tenants, because countless tenants have lived there, I'm sure. But it was just so weird waking up to the smell of smoke constantly. And then in the second apartment, well, actually the first apartment, that was the second apartment that I was living in by myself. The first one I was living in with my best friend, who was my roommate. And in that one, there was just this really weird, I don't know if this is ghostly as much as it is sci-fi. There was like a sound vortex or something happening there. In our living room, we had a TV. We were sitting, like the couch is like 6 or 8 feet away from the TV. We had to turn it on max volume all the way up in order to hear it, and still wished we could turn it up more. There was just a weird quality of sound in that place. And there's no reason for it. There was no muffling. It was hardwood floors, pretty much bare walls other than a few pictures. We didn't have a rug or anything in there. Just pretty bare, you know, college student dorm room attire. We could not hear the TV in this place. The weird thing was, when you would come in downstairs into the hallway, and our apartment was on the second floor, which was the top floor. He would come in downstairs, and you could hear the TV crystal clear, super loud. You would walk up the stairs and the hallway outside the apartment, right outside the door to the apartment, to the room that the TV was in. You could hear it crystal clear, super loud. And as soon as you walked into the apartment, it was muted and muffled. It was so soft, you couldn't hear it anymore. Our neighbors would complain all the time about the volume, but we couldn't hear anything unless we turned it up to 12. It was just really weird that it was still localized. That right outside the door, you could hear the television just blaringly loud. And as soon as you walk in, nothing that I can remember. And that's pretty much it. I would love to hear what you think about this. So I don't know if anybody else has called in with an olfactory haunting or an auditory or lack of auditory haunting. I'm really interested to hear what you guys think, but keep up the good fight. Love the podcast. Thanks. Bye.
Wow. Thanks for sharing that story. Thoughts on that?
The smoke is interesting. Only because I always worry when it's stuff like that, if something's lingering in the building, it could be a fire. It could have been likely cigarette smoke smells different than like campfire smoke. So maybe it's not that, but you know, changes in weather, humidity, all that kind of stuff. As you all know, if you've ever walked into a house that had cats that, you know, didn't take care of themselves.
Yeah.
Or Carol's has a poop problem, which we talked about before the podcast. You know, that stuff
Wait,
does.
I don't have the poop problem.
No, I said your cat does. Yes. Okay. I'm sorry. Let me clarify.
I just want to clarify that.
But
my poop's fine.
Some of that smoke could be residual actual smoke from something else, or it could be a memory left behind from something that did go on there. One quick story I had, we investigated one time an old restaurant that had burned down, and the new restaurant was there. And one of the tales was that even in the new restaurant, you could smell smoke every once in a while. While we were doing the investigation, we did, in fact, get that smell. And that building was brand new, built on the same location, but it was completely brand new. So there had been no reason for it to smell that way. So I have experienced it before, but have never been able to kind of determine why that happened.
Shipwrecked.
Yep.
And you know, as I was listening to that story, I kind of thought, well, it's an older building, could be the radiator, because sometimes those old radiators had a smell to them. And then when she throws out, it was built on this old, there had been a tuberculosis sanatorium there. I'm like, well, there you go.
There was a lot of tuberculosis sanatoriums, it seems, back in the day, especially
they didn't know what to do with them.
No, you know? I mean, it's horrific to think of just like,
they had
way there's
to treat
a,
all these people.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's, where I just was up in Michigan, so much of like the historic buildings, there's a lot of places we went that were kind of historic, like Mackinac Island and all that. It's like, oh, and that was a TB hospital, and that was, and this was, and it's like, they're everywhere. And like what, you know, I don't think, I mean, it's history. It was something we didn't live through. But I, you know, it sounds like I don't think most of us could contemplate. I mean, yes, we went through the pandemic, but I mean, other people have gone through that sort of shit too with less drugs to deal with it.
Right.
It was more isolate and hope you don't die. You know, I mean, I know we kind of, you know, we're in that situation, but I mean, not to this type of, you know, where it's like you're off to a colony of people and it'll last years and the rest of the world will move on and maybe you'll die, maybe you won't.
And you find them in northern states a lot because it was get them fresh air, right?
Exactly.
Fresh northern air will help clear their lungs. I mean, that's what medicine was back then.
Yep.
Yeah. And she, you know, they did dispose, you know, when people did pass away, they buried them quickly.
Yeah.
And I think probably there was cremations.
Sure.
Because they needed to safely dispose of these bodies. They didn't know if they're still contagious.
Right.
They didn't know how it all worked.
Or if they buried them, if they'd come back from the dead.
Yeah. Of course they'll do
be
that.
Be in the ground and, yeah.
Blah. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's interesting to think of and the perspective there. now we're bound to get to experience that one too, because it's like there's so many things in life where it's like, oh, I know that's in history, but you know it already happened. You know, it's the odds are probably not. Oh shit, it happened, yeah. And then like well, I mean, how many of these things are we gonna get in our life? Oh shit, there's another one. And yeah, I mean, all bets are off.
Because COVID was bad, but at least there were systems in place where you could kind of work on a cure and research it. And they didn't even have that sort of thing.
No.
It was like, get them away from other people so they don't infect other people.
The shit you never thought would happen. I mean, I just had one the other day of a shit you never thought would happen. Went into a defunct Kmart and got our marriage license. You know,
what? Oh,
that's literally where it was, in a defunct Kmart.
Was there anything left behind that made you realize it was a Kmart?
Well, I mean, the structure, you can tell the garden center off to the side is now a thrift store. The back part is an indoor go-kart track, and the front part is the state of Arkansas.
And, oh my gosh.
And there's like a DMV type counter in there, and they do marriage license and all that. And you still walk through the front doors of the Kmart to get in.
Was there a blue light hanging around or something like that?
I was making all the jokes. Trust me. I was like, never, like, this is perfect. Like, this is wonderful. I'm walking into a Kmart to get, who would have thought we'd go to a Kmart and get our marriage license, honey? I'm just thinking this is just so ironic and wonderful. And it's like, okay, we're in Kmart.
Now, I actually, like, honest to God, Tony, you had told me that story before because I made an AI image of you guys getting your frickin' license a blue light special.
You did.
I totally forgot that I did that.
Yeah.
That's I have no memory left. Yeah.
It was like 3 weeks ago, though, and a lot has happened in three weeks. I mean, everybody's traveled, everybody's done stuff, you know.
Lots of beer. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There must have been a lot of that. Yeah. But that was. I just thought that was funny and kind of ironic of going into the Kmart to get the marriage license. Here's another fun story. You like this one?
Yeah.
So we get, after the evening, we're getting ready to head out to our flight and everything, and couldn't find the marriage license.
Oh, itself. My God.
And you can easily just go get one reprinted and everything. It's not a huge deal. But it's like, well, where is it? But we had all this stuff we were bringing into the house and everything that we had that night. So we get all that in. And I had it in my jacket pocket. And I don't lose much. Like, I'm pretty good about all of that. But it was like, did it fall out? You know, it's like, geez, you know. But I had forgotten that when I was putting things away the night before, I had taken all the things around my jacket pocket and put it into my top dresser drawer. I had put in just to for safekeeping at that moment. And when we're getting ready to go in the morning, I'm looking at these places and I'm like, I didn't see it. It was there. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was the newlywed wife pissed off at you at all at that point?
Not at all.
Wow. Oh, that says something.
Good.
Yeah. Not at all. Just that's really, you know, it's gotta be somewhere. And it was just like, maybe it fell out. I mean, yeah, completely, because stuff like that happens, you know, and it's, you know, so. But we had a backup plan. We're like, well, I called and figured it out. And it's like, it's like $5 and then you get it re-signed and there you go. Thought it disappeared for a moment. Ghost stole it, but no. And it's in, it's turned in. So it's 1000% official.
Good.
So there you go. Turned in at the Kmart. And we got a free sub sandwich with it. I was just going to say.
Even better.
And icy. You got that icy you never had as a kid because your parents wouldn't buy you one.
Yep. I just go, I'm going to get an icy and a sub sandwich. It'd be great. I bet you can make a lot of money. Do a little like stand in front of the Kmart and just sell Kmart sub sandwiches and icies. And people would go there for the nostalgia of that.
Wonder if there's any legality to opening up a cafeteria slash.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, the brand is still owned. I mean, it's...
I thought they were totally gone now.
It's somebody, well, one I left? Think Sears Holdings owns it or whatever it is. And there is like a Kmart in Florida that's operating out of a garden center only. And that's the only thing that's left. But it does exist in other countries, though, too.
Oh, okay. All right.
And they use the old logo in other countries, like the old, old one. There's your Kmart education of the day.
So when they want a new logo, they just give them the next one.
So right, exactly.
Like, we need a rebranding. Yeah. And it's like, use this one.
Yeah. So by the time we're all near death, there'll finally be a big K. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they're still in about 1988 with the current logo in other countries with their Kmarts. I don't know. Let's do one more phone call. 855-853-4802. Hello.
My name is Patricia, and I want to share a story with you guys on behalf of a classmate of mine. She's too nervous to call in, and we actually had a class tonight, just got over, and she asked me to share the story with you guys. She is a listener, but she was too nervous to call in. So her background is military. Her husband was in the military for so many years, and I can't remember exactly where she said it was stationed at, but they were there for a couple of years, and they... normally just got put within base housing. So the one base that she was at was about, I think she said like 100, 120 years old. It was an old house, but it was just newly renovated. And she thinks that's maybe why all of this activity occurred is because of the renovations. But she was telling me that this is a 3-story Victorian aged house. And she was going downstairs to the laundry in the basement. And she said in the basement to the right, you walk down the stairs, and the left-hand side, there's the washer and dryer. And then on the right-hand side was a small room. And she said it was closed off. There was no doors, but you could tell it was a room because of the walls that were protruding. There was no door. There was no window. There was nothing. It was just basically like an enclosed room, and like you couldn't get in it without a sledgehammer. And she thought that was kind of odd. She didn't know if maybe that's where they're hiding or like if there's anything behind it, but she was too scared to find out. So basically, she told me that one night her husband was out on duty and her kids were asleep. And so to make use of her time, she went downstairs to throw a load in the washer. And while she was doing that, she said that she was bent over putting the laundry into the washer because it was front loading. And she closed the thing, started it, had a laundry basket in her hand, and she went to back up and bumped into a little boy. And she said that he was probably about 4 or 5, didn't recognize him, wasn't one of her own kids because her kids were asleep. And she looked at him, he looked at her, and they kind of just exchanged glances. And then she just went upstairs without thinking about it. And I think it's because she was so shocked, like what happened. And I asked her to describe him, and she said that he had like footy pajamas on. So it's not like a, you know, like an old looking like, you know, like it's more of like a modern kind of ghost by the way he was dressing. It wasn't like, you know, the 1920s era dressing. So it looked kind of like not a new ghost, but a recent ghost. So she's kind of scared. So she went back upstairs. And for a second, when she got up to the top of the stairs towards the kitchen, like where the basement is, she kind of thinked to herself and said, you know, wait a second, that's not right. So she went back downstairs. And all the doors were locked and all the windows were locked and there's no sign of anyone in there. And it kind of freaked her out a little bit. So then she went upstairs to her kids' rooms and all of them were sleeping. She had no idea where this kid came from. And she really doesn't know if it's anything linked to the house because I asked her, I said, hey, you know, is there any way that someone could have died in this house? And she's like, if they did, I wouldn't know because it's base housing. People come and go in these kind of housing, you know, all the time. So I just wanted to share that. She said it happened about 5 years ago, I want to say, 5 or 6 years ago. So I just thought I'd share that with you guys. I thought it was pretty creepy that they actually, like, physically bumped into each other. She said it was like, you know, if you go to the grocery store and you back up and hit someone and or bump into them by accident, like, that's what it felt like. He felt like a human. And she doesn't remember if he was cold, like, what he felt like. She just remembers bumping into him. So just wanted to share that with you guys. Love the show. Thanks. Bye.
I have questions.
Thank you for sharing that. Yeah.
So that's her. It wasn't like it was a basement of a communal apartment or something. It was her own basement, right? And she goes downstairs, bumps into a kid and picks up her laundry basket and goes back upstairs and then goes, wait, that was weird. So then she goes back down to look for the kid and he's not there. Is that it?
I thought it was kind of like communal. I don't know.
Because when I'm listening to it, I thought that was her basement. And I'm like, it would, and even if it wasn't her basement and it was a shared laundry space, maybe.
Right.
Wouldn't you bump into a kid and look around and be like, who's this kid belong to?
I've plowed many over with laundry baskets, you know, as when I was younger.
I 100% believe that kid.
Well, you're like, I got to get laundry done. And they're like playing around in the basement, jumping rope or some shit. And they're in front of the laundry machine. It's like, woo. And they go, they get the point. They learn really quick.
How are they going to learn?
They scatter. They run.
How are they going to learn?
They scatter.
Which, and that kid scattered. She went back and there's no kid. Gone. He scattered.
There's the lawn. There's the bald laundry asshole. And yeah, you know.
Yeah.
You got to assert your dominance.
Well, you got to. Yeah. It's like, don't be messing around. There's laundry to be done.
I got to clean my clothes, motherfucker. Yeah. You know. And you know. The thing is, there's probably people that do that sort of shit too.
Oh yeah, of course. You know,
that's the fun part. Well, there you go. That's going to wrap up this episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you want access to the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, all that stuff, check us out, Apple Podcasts, our premium channel there, or on Patreon. Just search Real Ghost Stories Online. And press subscribe wherever you're watching or listening. We're on YouTube now. Do check us out there. And until next time, for Todd and Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.
Normally in these ads, you'd expect someone like me to ask you to buy something. But I want to ask you to do something different. I'm Dave Farenthold, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm an investigative reporter, which means that I follow the money, inside of government and outside of government. The point of my job is to find things people are trying to hide. It involves talking to lots of people. It involves looking through lots and lots of documents. And if there weren't folks like me to go beyond the surface to understand who is really shaping what the government does, the public will be left in the dark about what the government's doing with your tax money, what the government's doing to you through regulations and spending. If you're like me and you think this kind of journalism is important, seek out a news source that does firsthand, fact-based reporting. If that's the New York Times, thank you. If that's your local paper, that's great too, because where you get your information matters.